Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, we're going to continue with part two of the message that we started last week called Discerning the Voice of God. Discerning the voice of God. I think this is something that we all battle with frequently. I think for many of us, it's a source of great frustration at times. And I think if we're honest, it's probably something that we tend to get wrong more often than we get right. But, you know, as I said last week, the good news is that if you desire to hear from God, if you want to learn to discern His voice, then you're in the right place right now. And I want to just encourage you in the time we have left to limit distractions, try not to be focused on other things, but lean in, because I believe God's going to give great insight for your life through His Word today. We're going to look at a guy from the Old Testament called Elijah, and Elijah was someone that God spoke to. The context for this passage today is that Elijah was in isolation. He had fled for his life. Jezebel had threatened him. He was depressed. He was discouraged, and he desperately needed to hear God's voice for direction, for his future, for clarity in terms of what he needed to do next. And, you know, I think all of us can safely say that when we hear God's voice, one of the great things it does is it limits confusion in our lives. And so we read from 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 11, and it says that the Lord said, speaking to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, I think we see here again that God wanted to speak to Elijah. God wanted to communicate something to him, and he needed Elijah to lean in and discern the voice of God. And, you know, the good news for us today is that God always wants to speak to us. He always has something new to say to us. In this strange and weird season we're in, God wants to speak to us. But for all seasons of life, God always has something new that He wants to say to us, and He needs us to lean in and discern the voice of God. I think from this passage, the first thing we see that we need to do is to position yourself in the presence of God. Position yourself in the presence of God. It's interesting that God instructed Elijah to go from where he was to where God needed him to be. And the preceding chapter tells us that Elijah was in a cave. He was hiding away. He was discouraged. And God said, "I need you to go reposition yourself. Come out from the cave, reposition yourself on the mountain," because clearly God's signal was easier to receive there. His voice was more clearly discerned on the mountaintop. And I think all of us can relate to that, particularly, you know, with our mobile phones, when you might be on a phone call or you might be on an email or looking at social media, and then you get frustrated because the signal drips or dips, or you can't get any signal. And so what we often do then is we reposition ourselves. Maybe you go to a different room in your house or you go outside in the garden, wherever the signal is better. And I think the same is true when it comes to our relationship with God. There are times when we are just not correctly positioned to hear from God, and we need to reposition ourselves so that we can hear His voice and we can more easily discern exactly what He's saying to us. You know, last week we looked at the life of the young boy Samuel, who was serving the Lord by assisting Eli the priest. And the Bible says that he heard God's voice for the first time, but the reason he heard it was he was correctly positioned. Look what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3 verse 3. It said, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And suddenly the Lord called out, 'Samuel.'" You know, if you know the story of the Old Testament, you would know that the presence of God was contained in the ark of God, which was stored in the tabernacle. And that was before Solomon built the temple later on, and before the Holy Spirit was poured out for all believers in the New Testament. But Samuel positioned himself near the presence of God, near the ark of God was where he slept. And, you know, I think the easiest way for us to discern the voice of God is simply to get close to God. The closer you get to him, the more likely you are to hear his voice, and the easier it becomes to discern what God is saying to us, and the less confusion there is to navigate. You know, I think one of the great ways to position ourselves closer to God is simply through the act of worship. And, you know, whenever we worship God, we intentionally come close to him, we get close to his presence, and we reposition ourselves. And, you know, our worship, I believe, is perhaps the equivalent of Elijah coming out of the cave and going onto the mountaintop. I think when we worship God, we come out of all our issues, all our struggles, all the negativity, and we better position ourselves to hear from God. And so I want to just encourage you, even in this season of online church that we're in, don't neglect the worship time. You will notice we still start our services with worship. We don't just pitch up on your screen and quickly give you a short encouragement. We start with worship because worship positions us to hear and discern God's voice when the teaching of the word comes. And it's so easy to be distracted. Don't be distracted. Enter into worship so that you can hear God's voice through the word. Another thing we see is that it's important to be quiet before God. You know, we see in this passage that Elijah heard God's voice as a gentle whisper. And it's interesting that before the whisper came, there was a loud wind, there was an earthquake, there was fire, there was a lot of issues and commotion, all the loud elements of life. And again, you can see I'm in a room this week with all the newspaper headlines from the past few days, all the voices of the media and social media speaking to us, yelling, shouting at us. And it's easy to get drowned out in the midst of these voices and not discern the voice of God. And we see from Scripture that God's voice was not the loud voice. It wasn't the yelling voice. It wasn't a threatening, demanding voice, but it was a gentle whisper. And I think that's why the psalmist writes in Psalm 46, verse 10, and he says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I believe it's when we come into his presence and we still ourselves, when we quiet our hearts in his presence, that we receive the greatest revelation from God and we are more likely to discern his voice. I think if it's fair, you know, to say that many of us, when we come into God's presence, we're so busy telling God what he should do for us and what is wrong in the world. And we ask again, nothing wrong with asking God, but make sure that you take time to be quiet, to still yourself in his presence so that you can actually hear what he says. I've often wondered in my own life how many times I've missed out on hearing what God wants to say simply because I cut him off with my amen after I told him everything that I needed in my life. A.W. Tozer, the great preacher and author, once said, "If you do all the talking when you pray, well, how will you ever hear God's voice?" And I think that's a great way and a great encouragement for us today to discern the voice of God. A man by the name of James Hamilton wrote a book called Directions. And in his book, he gives some great insight into discerning the voice of God. And he tells a story there. He says, before refrigerators, people would use ice houses to preserve their food. And these ice houses had thick walls. There were no windows in them. They had a tightly fitted door. And in winter, when the lakes and the streams were frozen, people would cut out large blocks of ice, haul them into these ice houses that were covered with dust, and they would serve as refrigerators that would often last well into the summer. Well, on one particular occasion, there was a man who lost a valuable watch that he had in the ice house. He looked everywhere, he couldn't find it. He got all his work colleagues, they looked, they couldn't find it. And eventually, when they went on a lunch break, a small six-year-old boy snuck into the ice house, and 5 minutes later, he emerged with a valuable watch. Well, of course, all the workers were amazed, and they thought, "How did you find that watch?" And this is what he said. He said, "I closed the door, I lay down in the sawdust, I kept very still, and soon I heard the ticking of the watch." I think that is such a great illustration of how we quiet ourselves before God so that we can discern his voice. You know, for me, the way I quiet myself before God and get into his presence is early in the morning. I don't know what your household is like, but our house is incredibly noisy. We've got four kids. They are loud, they are all over the show. And once they are up in the morning, it becomes very, very difficult to have a quiet time. So I have to intentionally get up early and go still myself before God. And that's when God speaks to me the most, before the neighbor's dog starts barking, before the hardy-dars fly over and make their noise. I have to intentionally be quiet before God so that I can discern His voice. Another way to discern God's voice is to intentionally block out the competing voices. Intentionally block out competing voices. The Bible says, very interestingly, that Elijah pulled his cloak over his head. And I think the reason he did that was to block out distractions. And having done that, the Bible says, then he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. And I think, I mean, there's a number of competing voices in the world. There's the voice of media. There's the voice of other people. But I think there's two main competing voices that try to block out what God is wanting to say to us. And the first one might surprise you, but I think the first competing voice is the devil's voice. And you say, well, why? Well, simply, I think the devil also wants to be heard in your life. The devil wants to speak into your life. The devil wants to shape your future. He wants to direct your path. He has plans for your life as well. And those plans are contradictory to the good plans that God has for you. And because of that, we know that his voice will deceive us and his voice will lead us astray. And, you know, it's interesting that Jesus actually gives insight in the scriptures as to what the devil's voice sounds like. In John chapter 8, verse 44, he says of the devil that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. In other words, Jesus is saying he's incapable of speaking the truth. So when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So very clearly, Jesus said that the voice of the devil will always contradict the voice of God. He will do his best to discredit the voice of God and will always try and make God seem unreasonable. Remember, that's what he did in the Garden of Eden with Eve. He said, did God really say? But here's the thing, even in your and my personal life, sometimes the devil will come and he will whisper in our ear and he will say, ooh, lockdown's been tough on your marriage. I don't think your marriage is going to last. You're going to get divorced. He might say, oh, business has been bad in this season. In fact, I don't think your business will ever recover. You may as well just give up now. Or he might say, you know, those addictions you're battling with, you're never going to be free from them. You know, your grandfather was an alcoholic. Your father was an alcoholic. You may as well just admit that you're an alcoholic too. And he might even say, yeah, I noticed you haven't been feeling so well lately. You've probably got coronavirus and, you know, people die from coronavirus. You're probably going to die. But you know what? You and I have to learn not to listen to that voice. And sometimes we've just got to rebuke that voice. And we have to tune ourselves into the voice of God so that we can hear the good things that God speaks over our life. I think the challenge is, though, that the enemy often comes to us when we are weak, when we're vulnerable or susceptible. And very often when we haven't spent enough time in God's presence, that's often when he will come and tempt us or discourage us. But you know what? Once you know the voice of God, it becomes a lot easier to discern the enemy's voice. You know, for those of you who know me, you would know that I'm a keen gardener. I love spending time in the garden and I love having a nice green weed-free lawn in the front. And so often, you know, whenever I'm out walking in the garden, I'll just pop down and pull a few weeds out of the grass. And often my kids will say to me, Dad, why are you pulling out the grass? And I will say, no, I'm not pulling out the grass. This is a weed. And they will say, Dad, but it looks like grass. And there's one particular weed called the yellow nut's edge, which looks almost identical to a blade of grass. But because I know what the real grass looks like, the moment I see the nut's edge, I'm able to discern that it's actually a weed. And I think the same is true with God's voice. When you know God's voice, you can discern the enemy's voice. But the way that you better learn to know God's voice is by spending time in his presence. And because I've spent a lot of time in my garden, I can discern the one from the other. The second voice that competes for in our lives against God's voice is our own voice. Our own voice. You know, last week I said that God's voice very often is a familiar voice that will most often sound like our own voice. But the downside to that is that our own voice can also be a stumbling block in our lives. Why? Because our voice is largely centered around what we want and around selfish motives. And, you know, it's interesting, in the sixth chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6, God basically sums up the thoughts and the heart of humanity. And the Bible says that the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And so very often our own voice will come and whisper in our ear, and our own voice will say, "Ooh, you deserve to be happy. You know, you're such a good person, not like all those other bad people out there. You need a break from serving at church. You've been working so hard. You really should put yourself first, you know. Take care of number one. You deserve that promotion. It was so unfair that they gave it to someone else." But you know what? You and I have to learn to also rebuke that voice as well, because the more we listen to that voice, the more self-centered we become, and the more we begin to promote our own agenda and follow our own plan for our life. And I've recognized in my life that very often my plan is contradictory to God's plan. So we have to learn to silence that voice at times. And I think, again, if we are not saturated in the things of God, if we don't intentionally get into His presence, if we're not quiet before Him, if we don't intentionally block out these other voices, our lives can very easily be led by the sound of our own voice. Here's another thought today that will encourage you from this passage. God also speaks through circumstances. Very often God will speak to us through circumstances. You know, we see here that Elijah had been through a rough season. It didn't look like it was getting any better soon. He was isolated, he'd been rejected and abandoned, he was discouraged, and yet it was in the midst of those difficult circumstances that God actually spoke to Elijah and God got his attention. And, you know, I think sometimes that God speaks to us loudest sometimes in difficult circumstances. God speaks to us in the midst of our pain. He speaks to us when we face unfortunate circumstances. He speaks to us in our hardship. Sometimes through circumstances, God will open a door for us. Other times He will close a door for us. Sometimes God will even frustrate us because we are busy pursuing our plans, heading in a direction that is different to the one that He has for us. And, you know, the great author C.S. Lewis once said that pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And I think sometimes when we face difficult circumstances, like the season that we're in, it is often when God speaks to us the clearest and the loudest, if we're willing to listen to His voice. You know what? Can I encourage you? Don't despise your circumstances today. I know this time we're in is not an ideal time, and that's true for all of us. And, you know, if we listen to the news reports, it would seem like it's going to be a very long time until things get to some form of normal again. But let God's voice direct you through your circumstances, through the season that you find yourself in. You know, the Bible says that God works all things for our good. And if you believe that and I believe that, then we have to acknowledge and trust that God will speak to us, even perhaps through our circumstances, through the season of life, so that we can get through better on the other side. Let me give you one more thought today. God speaks through His Word. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17 says that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So we clearly see that God speaks to His Word. And I'll go so far as saying this, that God never speaks more clearly to us than He does through His Word, through the Bible. But you know, the thing is, if your Bible is always closed, it's illogical to think that you're going to hear from God. Sometimes we're saying, "Lord, why are you not speaking?" And God's like, "Excuse me, your Bible is shut tight all the time. If you open it, I'm able to speak to you and you're able to hear from me." You know, whenever you take time to read your Bible, expect God to speak to you. In fact, I would encourage you to ask Him. You know what I like to do before I read my Bible, just very quickly to say, Lord, would you speak to me today? I've come into your presence. I've positioned myself quietly before you. I'm taking the time to read the word. Why would I not expect God to speak to me? Because God has something in His word for us. For every single problem that we face, there's an answer in His word. For every emotion that we go through, there's advice from God in His scriptures. Every hardship we endure, there's hope that God has for us in His word. And I think every decision we need to make, there is clarity and there is direction in the word of God. And you know, there's a great scripture I want to read to you in a moment. And I believe this is applicable to everyone who seeks to hear God's voice, who takes the time to quiet themselves before God. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, your own ears will hear Him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. That's a great encouragement for us as we seek to discern the voice of God. One last scripture, Proverbs 3 verse 6 from the Message paraphrase says, listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. You know, very simply, if you want to hear from God, it requires time in His presence. You know, sometimes just one word from God can change the course of your life. Just one scripture that He gives you, just one sentence can radically transform your life. But it's not going to happen by chance. It's not going to happen by luck. If we need to discern the voice of God, if we want to hear what God is saying, we need to get into His presence. We need to be still before Him, and we need to intentionally block out all the other voices so that you and I can clearly discern the voice of God for our lives. Can you say amen to that?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.